Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, a few years back, the Arapahoe County commissioners passed a law in our honor. Those of us at Denver Bible Church, involved with Bob Benyart Live, the Denver pro-life community, because we used to go to this abortionist home and protest every holiday for 10 years, Edward Patrick O'Loughlin. And they passed a law saying, well, if you go there, you can't stand still. You have to keep walking. You have to walk a total of 666 feet, I think they said, before you turn around and go back, or 660 feet, before you turn around and go back to his house. And the signs you can carry, you can only carry one sign per person. I don't like that. That's just too limiting. But one sign per person, it can only be 3 square feet. So guess what happened just a few days ago? Somebody was in the same neighborhood. Now, that law applies anywhere in Arapahoe County. Someone was in the abortionist neighborhood carrying a huge sign, and the police came. Nobody got arrested. They didn't get arrested. And you know why? What kind of a sign was it? Well, let's find out. Let's ask Keith Mason, who's with Survivors, the pro-life group. Keith, welcome to Bob Benyart Live.
Thank you, Bob, for having me.
You're welcome. Survivors, you guys are young people who survived Roe v. Wade.
Precisely, yeah. We're made up of people born after 1973.
Right.
And our primary focus, and I lead a group of missionaries that go to college and high school campuses around the country. We go to about 200 per year.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we find different events in different cities that are worthy of us challenging or attending,
right.
We do those around the country as well.
All right. Like John Edwards was in Colorado just last week, and you guys greeted him.
And paid him a visit. Yeah,
that, that was really nice of the pro-lifers to make sure we greet
luminaries. Yeah, candidates and everything.
Yeah,
he really enjoyed it, and we had a good time, good chat with him and everything.
All right. So. Okay. And so you guys went to Arapahoe County, and you brought a sign with you. What kind of sign was it?
It was a gift from the Colorado Democratic headquarters. It was a 8-by-4-foot John Kerry Edwards sign, a stronger
American. One of those huge Kerry Edwards red, white, and blue signs.
You'd probably see it on the side of the road.
Or on a highway.
On a billboard.
Yeah,
something
right.
like that. But we decided to carry it into the neighborhood. And
now, when we make signs that big, pro-life signs, they cost a couple $100.
Yeah, easily.
So they donated.
They donated
to a pro-life group. Why would they do that?
Well, we said, you know, we were honest. We said, hey, we have a few college-age guys that like to stand on the street corner with this
and hold the sign.
And hold the sign. And they said, oh, wonderful. Let's give you one right away.
So they donated a nice big Kerry Edwards sign to you guys. Now you guys are not supporting Kerry Edwards.
No. Well, in the neighborhood that day, we were.
Uh-oh. Trouble, because they're pro boards. But what were you doing that day? So you took that huge sign, and you went where?
We went into Edward O'Loughlin's neighborhood, where that sign ordinance is in place. It's that ordinance is a strictly content-based ordinance that was created strictly to enforce against pro-life Christians and to protect the tranquility of a person who kills children for a living.
They want to kill kids and live in peace.
Precisely.
And we Christians, we don't want there to be peace with child killing.
Exactly.
If you're going to kill kids, we want to create as much tension and misery as humanly possible and without doing anything immoral. But we want to create as much misery as possible to keep the social tension on so that people just don't become lackadaisical and say, okay, we'll kill kids for the rest of history. We want to stop that.
You know, there's good money in killing unborn children for a living. But sometimes that money doesn't become worth it when you have people on the sidewalk in front of your house saying that what you're doing is wrong and informing your neighbors.
Yeah. In fact, we'll get to it a little later, but maybe one Planned Parenthood abortionist might have quit this past couple weeks, thanks to you guys going to her home. But let's before we get to that, so you guys took this huge Carrie Edwards sign to this abortionist neighborhood. Edward Patrick O'Loughlin is his name, and he lives Evans and I live sort of.
Some yes, Evans and Dayton in there. I think it's the Huntington Estates or something.
Right, neighborhood.
Neighborhood. Yeah, and you know, we went in there. And marched around the neighborhood just as we do with pro-life signs.
But you had a Carrie Edwards sign.
But we had a gigantic Carrie Edwards sign, and one of us was holding a Ken Salazar
Colorado sign. That's really gross. You guys are gross.
You know, I did take a shower after we were done with that event.
All right, good. I'm glad to hear that.
But we went in the neighborhood, and for the first time, people were waving at us, saying how glad they were that
we
were there.
You mean the neighbors were welcoming you?
They loved us there.
Isn't that incredible?
You know, it was refreshing, I think. But when you, you know, when you're taking their message to them, you know, of course that's what they're going to do. So we went.
The neighbors run out and say there's an ordinance, you're not allowed to carry signs larger than 3 square feet?
We were actually informed that by one neighbor, a young boy.
Right.
He came and told us he had a Pete Coors sticker on his vehicle. He said, by the way, there's an ordinance in the neighborhood. Just want to let you know. See you later.
So a Republican figured, hey, I might as well use this ordinance.
Right. He was one of two in the whole neighborhood that we could find. But
okay. All right.
Anyway, so we went around the neighborhood and stood in some of the same places that we do with pro-life signs. And we stood in front of one of the only Republicans' houses that we could find. And then we went and stood on the street corner where maybe a year or 2 years prior to last week, Ken Scott was actually arrested with a sign that said Jesus King of Kings.
Jesus King of Kings. I was there that day, and he had the sign, and it was after they passed the ordinance, and he was holding the sign. It said Jesus King of Kings, and they arrested him.
They arrested him.
Which seems to be a violation of basic free speech rights. Yeah. Seems to be.
Well, precisely. It's really ambiguous and of what the rules are about the ordinance and everything. But anyway, we were walking around the neighborhood, and at one point we decided, you know, nobody's going to notify the police we're here because they really love us here.
And the Republicans, even though they figured, hey, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, and they thought they'd tell you about it, but they obviously didn't call the police.
Right.
So and the pro-aborts were all happy you were there, most likely.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. We were carrying around some of the same signs that were in O'Loughlin's front yard, even. Hmm. So we decided that we needed to call the police ourselves. So my wife
Come on now. And you called the police on yourselves? You reported yourselves?
We did. And we were informed that
that's so great. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
It's our First Amendment right to carry around a John Carrie Edwards sign.
Wait. The Arapahoe County Sheriff's Department, you called like 911 or?
The dispatch number. Yeah. Right. And we were informed that there's nothing that they could do because it's our First Amendment right to carry around a sign.
Did you tell them we're carrying the sign and we're calling and reporting ourselves?
No, we didn't tell them that.
You played it a little bit.
Yeah, my wife called. I didn't call. So she called in and she said, well, there's these guys and they're carrying around a really big sign. And it's John Kerry, and I really don't like John Kerry, and I wonder if you guys can get him out of here. And the dispatcher replied, well, you know, that's their First Amendment right. And I talked to the people out there with a John Kerry sign today, and their sign is completely legal.
Was she talked to who?
She said that she had talked to some people with a John Kerry sign.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, that wasn't true. Well, if she was not talking about us. But
did you guys record this?
Yes, we did.
You recorded this?
Yes, we did.
You guys are so smart.
So anyway, evidently enough, they did send out 3 patrol cars.
Because it's the neighborhood.
It's the neighborhood.
And the neighborhood is known for troublemakers.
Oh, yeah.
Like us.
And my wife called twice. She had to call twice before they'd come out.
Oh.
And almost badger them to come out. And so you know, we got a little tense, you know, when they came out to see what would happen. You know, we knew we were in violation of the sign ordinance. The sign was 4 feet by 8 feet.
You mean you guys got a little nervous?
A little nervous because every time before someone was violating that ordinance,
okay.
They would.
Now, for public school teachers who are tuning in right now, any public school math teachers, let's explain a 4-foot by 8-foot sign is 32 square feet. It's not. It's not 12 square feet. You don't add the length and the width. You multiply them. It's 32 square feet. The ordinance says the largest sign you can carry is 3 square feet, which for the sake of public school math teachers, that doesn't mean 3 feet by 3 feet. That would be 9 square feet. So take a yardstick on one end of a sign, on the height and the length of the sign, that sign is way too big. A yardstick, just a little yardstick, you could hold that easily right in front of your body. That sign is 3 times too big.
Exactly.
Right. And you know what we do in Arapahoe County, since so many of us, we all went to public school? We carry round signs and signs, octagon signs with 8 sides. And the police just can't, for the life of them, figure out how many square feet they are. They don't know how to calculate area. Yeah. And so we get away with stretching the rule a little bit.
Well, I wanted to make it real clear and real easy for the police to calculate the sign was too big. That's why we went with such a gigantic
32
sign.
Square feet.
32 square feet.
More than 10 times the legal limit for a sign size.
Right, exactly. So we were there, and the patrolman drove by, and you might expect them to stop, get out, and identify us and everything else.
And they have to give you a warning that the sign is too large.
Right.
And after they give you a warning, then they could arrest you and confiscate your sign.
And keep it for evidence or what have you. So we were expecting all those things, but what we got was a wave, and then the officer said, "Have a nice day."
Oh,
and they left.
Man, that is biased. That's like prejudice against Christians. So if you're a John Kerry supporter in Arapahoe County, the law doesn't apply to you.
Well, no, that's your First Amendment right to hold a sign.
Oh.
If you
the real law applies to you. But
yeah.
The bogus law applies if you're a Christian.
Precisely. Okay. So we wanted to show that, and my goal with this was to challenge us in federal court.
Good for you, Keith.
And
a few years ago, when was it? 5 years ago, 4 years ago, they passed that ordinance. And there's so many battles to fight, and we figured you can't fight every battle every day. You run out of energy and time.
Right.
And so we thought we'll bide our time and figure out when is the best time to fight this? So here comes Survivors and Keith Mason, and it's election time. It's the campaign, and they go into the abortionist neighborhood with a Kerry Edwards sign. That's absolutely perfect. It couldn't be better. It's brilliant. The Bible says be wise as serpents.
A serpent. That's right.
And gentle as doves. So, okay, so then what did you do?
So, well, we got all this on video and to document it very well. So
we
videoed the carry. We videoed the cops waving at us and everything, smiling and having a good time. We, you know, we videoed the neighbors saying, "Thank you so much. You're doing such good things here." And and so we did all that. And then we decided to go back the next day, the same time of day, with a different message and see what would happen.
This is in Arapahoe County.
This is Arapahoe County.
Sheriff's Department.
The same area.
The abortionist neighborhood. Planned Parenthood abortionist neighborhood.
Exactly.
Right. Huntington Estates.
And so we returned the next day with the pro-life message. And I dropped off one of my missionaries. His name is Harry Rader. And he had a sign that was larger than the ordinance allowed. His sign was 4 feet by 5 feet.
4 by 5.
4 by 5. So that's the average sign of what we carry to college campuses and high school campuses to educate young people about abortion, showing them the reality of it. And so
public school math teachers, how big is that sign? It's 20 square feet.
20 square feet.
So it's way bigger than the ordinance, but it's a third smaller than the Democratic sign.
Than the Democratic sign.
Right.
So we had them walk around the neighborhood, and I was borrowing a van from the local here, Ken Scott, and he has what he calls the glory van, and some of the locals here might have seen it driving around. It has images on the sides of it.
For 10 years or more.
Yes.
Right? Huge pictures to show people what abortion is, and we need to have compassion for these children that are being slaughtered by Planned Parenthood and governing officials who just don't make a big deal out of killing kids.
So he was nice enough to lend me the van, and I had Harry walking around, you know, the neighborhood with the sign, and I pulled the van up to O'Loughlin's house. I just parked right in front of his house there, and I just waited for Harry to kind of walk around and come to me and put the sign away, and then we'd drive away just to see how the police would act. Yeah. Immediately, O'Loughlin came out and
the abortionist.
The abortionist was very angry with me, and he said I was breaking the law, and I didn't really know what he meant because the ordinance doesn't say anything about a vehicle. It doesn't, and I've had the vehicle in there several times before.
That's so true. We've brought Ken and Joe Scott's van in there with the big signs, and since a person's not carrying them, the ordinance has to do with signs that you carry. Apparently, allowing people to post signs in their front yard, like political signs, and so they've never said that the van, and the ordinance doesn't address vans
or vehicles.
Yeah, like if you go in there, if you're a plumber, and your van says, you know, A&G Plumbing, that hopefully is not going to violate an ordinance. So, right, the van has never been arrested before. So what did they do?
Well, I was sitting in the van, and I got word that Harry was being arrested.
What?
And I said, what's going on? And I radioed back. I told Harry, if they're telling you to leave, we better leave. We don't want to get arrested here. We want to follow the rules, and then we'll take care of this later in front of a judge. And so I get out of the van to see what's going on, and Harry is in handcuffs, and I asked if he had been warned, and the officer didn't respond. And
because the ordinance says you have to warn somebody first.
You have to be warned.
Because it's a weird law. Like if you steal something, you don't have to be warned first. If you rob a bank, it's not like you get a warning and you could return the money. Because if you rob a bank, it's obviously wrong. If you carry a sign that's bigger than 1 foot by 3 foot, then they put a warning in here because no one would intuitively know it's against the law to carry a sign on a public sidewalk.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So they didn't.
So they said, well, he is in violation of the sign ordinance because I was asking, why is he being arrested? Hmm. He's in violation of the sign ordinance. And I kept asking them if he had been warned, and I got no response. And actually, I've gotten the tapes back because actually Harry was smart enough to have a video camera around his neck. And we have captured all the audio. They never warned him before they arrested him.
You
they
guys are smart. Him. I got to tell you.
And so then we got back in the van, and I was because the officer told me that I was going to be interfering with his work if I kept asking him if he had been warned or not. So I be respectful of the officer, and I returned to my van, or Ken's van, and I was just kind of awaiting word of what was happening. And an officer approached me, and he said that he felt that I was in violation of the ordinance by driving the van, and he was going to officially warn me. And I said, well, are you sure that I'm in violation? And he said, well, no, I'm not sure, but I'm going to warn you anyway. And I said, well, why are you going to warn me of something that you're not sure of? And he said, okay. And we, had some dialogue, and he decided to wait for his superior to get there. And the superior got there, and
the sergeant?
The sergeant, Sergeant Terry Reibling of the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Department.
And the sergeant would have the ordinance right there and see it doesn't say anything about a van. But
it doesn't say anything about a van.
He decided,
and he told me that the van was in violation of the ordinance, and it said or otherwise display portion of the ordinance. And
well, I remember this since this ordinance was in our honor, and it's talking about if you're holding or otherwise displaying a sign. In other words, you might have a sign taped to your back.
Right.
And so they wanted to not give us a loophole. If we had the signs tied to us, they would still. So if you're holding it or otherwise displaying it.
And specifically the ordinance says, or otherwise display on his or her person.
On his or her person, right. Exactly.
So he said he told me, he said, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. You either need to take the signs off the van and give them to me, or I can impound your van. And Ken was nice enough to lend me the van, and I didn't
and
want
to. And you were nice enough to get it arrested.
And
I mean, how many times did you get your van arrested? All right, so anyway.
And so I didn't know what to do, but it ended up I had to make a decision, and they impounded their van.
That was the good decision. Ken will cut you some slack. Was he mad at you, Ken Scott?
No. He's gracious enough not to be mad.
Yeah, and that wonderful van is a piece of junk anyway. It's probably doing better in an impound lot somewhere than it could be anywhere else.
Right.
For the pro-life movement.
At least it's not covered up, and it's
so people who work impounding vehicles for Arapahoe County are seeing these pro-life life pictures.
Right, right.
So that's good, too.
Hopefully it's a witness there. So.
Okay. So will you get the van back?
I just got word moments before we went on the air that they are going to be releasing the van at some point here. So
that's nice.
So that's good. But, you know, the other portion is Harry, you know, they arrested him and they took the sign that he was carrying and it didn't quite fit in their trunk, so they broke it in half.
Ooh, those are expensive.
It's over $100.
Right.
And they put it in their trunk and crushed it even more in the trunk. Mm. So, and we have that on video. And, you know, they were – I mean, obviously they had to really stretch to impound that van. And I was cited for violating the ordinance by driving the van.
Right. And Harry was arrested without being warned. And the day before, you guys are carrying this huge Carey Edwards sign, 8 feet by 4 feet, which is more than 3 square feet, I think. Even though I went to public high school, I think it's more than 3 square feet. And it was your free speech right.
Precisely.
According to the gal at the, like, the 911 operator?
Yeah, like a dispatch operator. Yeah.
All right. And according to one police officer came to check it out?
Three. And one waved and said, have a nice day.
Okay.
So and then the others just looked at us and kind of nodded.
All right. And you know what? We've been doing this for so long in that neighborhood that the – especially the day crew at the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Department, they know the rules.
Absolutely.
They know the rules really well.
You know, last August, I planned an event out here in Colorado, and we had 30 young people in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And we had 35 Arapahoe County sheriffs out there. And I told them we wanted to be in the neighborhood, and they sent everybody out. So I think that was pretty much most of the people, most of the sheriff deputies they had on staff.
Yeah, they know. So. And, you know, when they first passed this law, you can only carry, it can only be 3 square feet. What we did, the first thing we did was the first day when TV cameras were there and the newspapers, and this made it onto the news. We had a sign that was about 35 feet long. It was huge. It said, abortion kills kids. And they didn't arrest us for it. And that was the day that the ordinance went into effect.
Wow.
And the media was out. You know why they didn't arrest us? Because the sign, abortion kills kids, every person wore one letter and were standing about 5 feet apart. So everybody had about a 3 square foot letter, A, B, O, R, you know, spelling out abortion kills kids. It went down the block, abortion kills kids, this huge sign, made it on the evening news. It was just great. So human beings are so, you know, resourceful that it's really hard to pass stupid laws and try to enforce them. It becomes impossible.
Right, right. But, you know, if it's content-based, they're going to find a way somehow, you know, and they did. And we're effective in showing the contrast between messages, I believe. So.
Right. Yeah, if your message is it's okay to kill kids, it's open season on unborn children, you could kill them, and then you're not going to get arrested. If your message is it's wrong to kill unborn children, then the wrath of the government will come down on you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is quite a story. And Keith Mason is with Survivors, a California-based group. Now, Keith, you head up their high school and college division, the campus life for Survivors. And I like the audience to know, it's sort of like bragging a little bit, but you're a member of Denver Bible Church.
I am.
And now you live and work out of California. We hope to get you guys back here someday. You and your wife, Jennifer, and your beautiful little girl, Emma. How old's Emma?
4 months.
4 months old. And she's such a doll. She's so
Thank
cute.
You.
So, but a little bit of history and rationale. Why is it, does it make any sense at all to protest at an abortionist house? Because it gets everybody upset. The whole neighborhood is up in arms.
You know, protesting someone's house is an extremely unpopular thing to do. You know, not too many people like it. You know, Jennifer's father really doesn't like that we do that occasionally. But it's effective, and I believe it's one of the most effective things that pro-life Christians can do now in the fight against abortion. You know, we're – in one sense, we're winning the battle because it's so hard for the abortion industry to find people to perform abortions.
Yeah, and the New York Times has written about this in national media – about the abortionists are getting old and gray. They're mostly older white males who have made millions of dollars killing kids. Many of those kids, minority kids, blacks are disproportionately killed. Young girls are disproportionately killed. So rich white men killing children, minorities, young girls, becoming millionaires. That's mm-hmm. the way it's going. And when students go to medical school and they're trying to decide what to get into, and they have a choice between, let's say I'm going to be a dermatologist or an abortionist. And it's in the news. Here it is, Christmas morning, and the neighborhood domestic terrorists are at the abortionist house, 8 o'clock Christmas morning. And this med student is thinking, I don't want that for the next 40 years.
Exactly. And, you know, there's so many other stigmas involved with it. Most of the medical community shuns abortion providers as well.
Yeah, Warren Hearn was quoted, I think, in the New York Times again, saying it was a Friday afternoon and a doctor in Boulder called him. He runs the Boulder Abortion Clinic. Mm-hmm. And he's written a textbook on how to do late-term abortions called Abortion Practice. Anyway, a doctor called him late on a Friday afternoon and said, you know, why don't we get together, go out for a drink or whatever. And Warren Hearn said, no, I can't make it. I'm still working. And this doctor said, you're still killing kids this late? And Warren Hearn repeated that to the New York Times to say, hey, we don't get respect even from the medical community. And that's good, but that's not enough.
Right.
So we do whatever we can to increase the social tension so that the killing of children does not pass unnoticed, so that you can't kill kids with tranquility.
Exactly. And with – you know, we have a vast network of spies through the abortion industry, and we were able to obtain some sensitive information here in Denver, Colorado. And it was the home addresses of two abortionists that work at Planned Parenthood at 20th and Vine. Mm-hmm. So we decided to pay them a visit at their home. And one of the homes that we visited was the sister and brother-in-law of a female abortionist that works at Planned Parenthood at 20th and Vine.
She's been going there for months. She's a regular abortionist there.
Right.
And what happened?
And we visited their home, and we encouraged them to have her quit. And we were, you know, speaking for those unborn children.
And that was all videotaped, by the way. I saw the video. You guys did a great job.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob. And they came out and said, she's quitting. She's quitting. She's not going to work there any longer. And I actually am pleased to report to you, Bob, that she has not been to Planned Parenthood since.
Since a couple weeks now. And the next day that she was scheduled to kill babies, the women went in and there was no abortionist for hours. And Edward Patrick O'Loughlin had to show up, obviously leaving another job site.
That's right.
And killing kids somewhere else to get there to kill those kids too.
For the entire week following, that was the case. Mm-hmm. And he was late on an average of 2 to 3 hours every day.
So, all right, Keith Mason, thank you so much. With Survivors, your website, survivors.la.
Yes, that's right.
So if anyone would like to support Survivors, in fact, if anybody in the Denver area would like to have a coffee, you're scheduling like home coffee and donuts where people invite their friends. And you'll give a presentation about Survivors and see if people want to make a monthly pledge, maybe $20 a month or something.
Yeah, that'd be phenomenal. They could probably call you, Bob, and get information on me.
Yeah, they could. Or they could donate just to Survivors, just on their own. Thank you, Keith Mason, so much.
Thank you, Bob.
We'll keep the audience up on what's going on. Let me tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a school. 20 beautiful acres, Christ-centered, top academics. And all this for your kids, ages 2.5 years to 12th grade. Their number, 431-5653. That's 431-5653.